This is Real Presence Live on the RPR Network, bringing you stories of faith and hope through local hosts and guests from across the Upper Midwest. Now, back to the show.
We are back for our last segment of the show this morning here on Real Presence Live. Once again, Brandon Clark, one of your hosts, joined by
Steve Sponskowski.
And we just finished up a wonderful and I think very insightful and reflectful conversation with Brad on the Daily Gospels of the Day. You know, there was the invitation, of course, that Brad gave to just really try to cultivate the presence of the Lord. But there's another invitation, too, to read the Daily Gospels and read through Scripture as a way to be able to encounter that. So if you missed any of that, I want to encourage you to go back and listen to the podcast, because I think there's a lot of beautiful things that were shared and might inspire you in your journey.
Absolutely. I think, Brandon, this morning our entire theme of just walking with the Lord, kind of that road to Emmaus, having the Lord, being in the presence of the Lord throughout everything in all of our works, in all of our prayer, being attentive to his presence, I think, is really probably the key to living the Christian life and being in peace and experiencing that joy.
Well, and as we talk about that, I think that really served as the theme for the Diocese of Fargo's recent diocesan synod.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, the bishop chose the three areas of first of encounter with the Lord, then formation in our identity, and finally being sent on mission. And of course, we know that as Christians, if we're not on mission, we're technically not even Christian, because that's what we're called to. You know, we know that from even the Mass, ita missa est, it means like we are sent into the world to bring Christ to the world. And so we had the synod April 11th through the 13th, a live event here in Fargo, with almost 300 people from across the diocese, and had live conversations about how the Lord was inspiring us through the Holy Spirit to evangelize the world. And so it was a great event, and just so much wisdom, as we talked, you know, earlier. Yeah. Like how could so much wisdom come from so many people? I was just completely impressed by the conversation, and so it was a great 2.5-day event.
And we have a couple of the parish representatives, Andrew Meyer and Joey Miller, who are joining us just to kind of break down the synod and their thoughts on everything. So, gentlemen, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning.
All right, Andrew, let's start with you. Where are you from? You're the parish that you're representing. And how did you get involved in this representing the parish in the first place?
So I am from St. John's in Wahpeton, and I'm the director of religious ed down here. And really the way it came to be represented is Father Greg Hammond came into my office one day and sat down on my couch and said, there's this synod coming up, which I did know about, but he sat and he asked if I would consider being a delegate. And I thought about it for a little bit, and he said it. This is a big moment for the diocese, and that this was something that he wanted me to participate in. And I was honored that he would ask me to do that. So really, for me, it was just a pretty simple conversation with Father, and yeah.
Wonderful. Joe, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
So you're joining us, which means your wife hasn't had her baby yet, so know of our prayers as continue forward in that. Which parish are you representing, and how did you get involved in the whole process?
Thank you. It's still holding here. Probably in the next week, I'm thinking the baby will come. But my process was, I think I walked into the office of the parish at the wrong time, and the father's like, I think you're going to go to this diocesan synod for me. And I'm like, okay, it sounds like a good idea. Like, I'm from the St. John of Pomacene Parish in Pisac, North Dakota, and Father Leffer is our priest. And it was just an opportunity that sounded like something that I would enjoy, and I've enjoyed the process of coming to the synod, and then the synod process itself was beyond expectations. It was wonderful.
And let's go back to you, Andrew, a little bit to talk about, as you and both of you walking into the synod, what you kind of expected. So, Andrew, as you walked in, what were you thinking? He's like, this is going to be what?
I guess I really wasn't completely sure. We had had a listening session here in Wahpeton about a year prior to the synod, and I was impressed with how willing people were to share their thoughts about things. And so I really did feel like there was going to be a clear, open sense of communication and opinions, which I always think is good. Generally, though, I didn't really form any expectations because, in part to a degree, there was that element of almost mystery, if you want to call it that, around the synod, just to see where the Holy Spirit was going to move us. I'd gotten the propositions probably a couple weeks prior to the synod, and so I had a chance to look over them. So I knew maybe some of the talking points, but how exactly it was going to all play out, I guess I really didn't form any expectations on what to expect.
And Joey, your thoughts? What was your kind of expectations coming in?
Well, when we started the process of doing the Zoom meetings, online meetings, and kind of discussing these various pathway documents, I was very intimidated because I'm like, how is this going to work? I thought honestly that the synod could potentially be a disaster because I was looking at the schedule. I'm like, how are we going to get through all these things? And in my opinion, the only way we got through this was if the Holy Spirit guided us. And like I said, this was a wonderful experience. The whole day of Friday when we were working on it was probably one of the best experiences I've ever had in a religious forum, and certainly in any kind of conference I've ever been to. I thought it was just a great experience.
And I want to echo what you guys are saying, because so I'm the facilitator and organizer of the synod, but I felt the same way walking into the synod. We had numerous meetings with the bishop, but we're all like, how is this going to work? And really, Bishop Fulda had set this tone throughout of saying, we're going to rely on the Holy Spirit here. And he said, I don't want the outcome to already be set. I want the Holy Spirit to decide the outcome. And we're going to go into this with everything that we can have organized, but we're going to leave it to the Holy Spirit. And so that, you know, that first day we were like, Steve, how is this going to happen? Like, I've got it on paper, but how it's going to look afterwards, that's up to the Holy Spirit. And I think that was such a great experience.
And Andrew, you're a former seminarian for the diocese, so I want to ask this question to you. You've probably seen the challenges that we have in our diocese, lower vocations, lower church attendance, and it's things that dioceses across the nation are facing. What was your thoughts about, you know, as we talked about the idea of the synod being involved and what the implementation would look like going forward, about how that would help us overcome some of these challenges that we're facing for the future of the Diocese of Fargo?
See, I think for me, a major thing has to do with just how the church and the culture work together. And I think really a lot of the propositions that were brought forward was a real sense of counterculturalism and radical responsibility. I truly do think that responsibility is something that everyone wants deep down, and a higher purpose. And challenging people to that through some of the things that we discussed, such as more silence, more reverence for the Blessed Sacrament, not necessarily maybe concrete things that we're going to implement, like, boom, there it is, here and now, such as specific programs or events, but cultivating more of a culture that is going to stand in opposition to the very loud and very self-centered focus that our culture has now in the world today.
And Joe, speaking as a husband and father, you know, what does that mean to you specifically in knowing that your children are going to be growing up in this world and they're going to be a part of the church as the church continues forward into the future? It's obviously something that we want to make sure we leave a strong foundation for, doesn't it?
Right. I think in my personal life or my family life, trying to bring up my children in this environment and sort of, you know, trying to demonstrate that this is what's important, not sports, not, popular culture and whatnot, but a lot of it's just participating in the Mass and being present is a lot of it. But when I got to the Synod, I saw that you know, there's more to it all, and there's a connection that you can make with the Holy Spirit, with your peers, and it just kind of enlightened me in a way that I was unaware of.
Yeah, I thought the, you know, this process of setting up for the synod was 2.5 years of you know, conversations and planning, and the bishop kind of giving us this direction. And I think one of the big concerns when we started the synod process was that this was going to be about people telling the church what needed to be done. And so right away in the conversations, we started out with the listening sessions of saying, you know, how am I being called to respond? And as I was, we did the 17 or 18 listening sessions across the diocese. I was facilitator and always just kind of watching for that sense of where people are going to start saying, okay, the diocese needs to do this. Bishop, you need to. That only happened like once or twice. I was so impressed with how people right away said, we need to do this. We need to do this. We need to take responsibility for our faith. We need to go out on mission. And right away, there was this real sense of mission across the diocese. And then again, that came out again at the synod where we need to be doing this. It's not the church that does everything for us. We are the church.
I think that's really important because this is such a pass the blame, pass the buck culture that we live in now that we need to recognize if we want to have a difference, and we need to be the difference, really, and being willing to step forward. Now, it doesn't mean we take everything onto our shoulders and do it ourselves, right? We have many parts to the body of Christ, and each one of us has a call. And I think that's part of the conversation we want to pick up after the break when we continue on Real Presence Live. It's talking more about the synod itself, and what does this look like now that we've gone through the synod and the implementation process and the feelings moving forward about the future of the diocese? So stay with us. We'll pick up this conversation with Andrew Meyer and Joe Miller and, of course, Steve Splonskowski and Brandon Clark right after this.
Live, engaging, and local, this is Real Presence Live, where we bring you positive and uplifting stories and share the great things happening in our local area on the Real Presence Radio Network.
Let us run to Mary and, as her little children, cast ourselves in her arms with a perfect confidence. St. Francis de Sales. Join together with families across the local area for the Rosary, nightly here on Real Presence Radio. On Wednesday through Monday nights, tune in at 8 p.m. Central, and on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. Central. Gather the whole family together and pray this powerful prayer with us. Join us for the Rosary Wednesday through Monday at 8 p.m. and Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Central here on the RPR Network.
This is Father Anthony Craig from the Diocese of Duluth. I really want to thank my parents today for giving me the faith of Jesus Christ and teaching me the ways of prayer, praying over us when we were sick, showing us self-sacrifice. My father actually was a deacon, a permanent deacon in the church, and he would bring us along as kids, because there were six of us kids, and he would bring us along to hospital visits or to work in the food shelf and doing all these various things for people in the community. And I learned ways of serving others through that, through watching my dad. And then my mom, she also was very self-sacrificial of herself. She wore the same pair of tennis shoes for about 10 years to show us that she didn't care about herself as much as the rest of us. And we got new shoes for every school year. We had all of what we needed and most of what we wanted. And the Lord really provided a great example in my parents to show me the way to really Christian servitude and prepared me for the priesthood.
Spring brings the promise of new beginnings. The season reminds us that a new life is always around the corner. We can take inspiration from this and create a little spring of our own by remembering a life that was dear to us. A memorial gift of cash or property is a wonderful way in which to perpetuate the memory of a loved one. Please let us know about a person or persons you would like to remember and the best way we can honor them. For more information, please call Mike at 701-290-4503.
You're listening to Real Presence Live. Now, back to more inspirational and uplifting stories and a look at the extraordinary things happening in our local area. Heard right here on the RPR Network.
Well, thanks for staying with us as we finish up our show here this morning on the RPR Network. Brandon Clark, one of your hosts, joined by
Steve Splonskowski.
And we are visiting with Andrew Meyer and Joey Miller about the recent diocesan synod, the third diocesan synod hosted by the Diocese of Fargo, that took place April 11th through the 13th. So we talked a little bit about leading up to the synod, gentlemen. Let's talk about the synod itself. Obviously, it lasted 3 days. And so one of the questions we have is there anything in particular about one of those days or something, you know, that just carried across as a theme of that synod that really struck you and just brought a profound encounter in your life? Andrew, let's start with you.
I guess for me, going in, like I said, I didn't necessarily have an expectation of what to expect. But even like Joey had said at the beginning of the interview, you know, looking at the amount of material that we had to get through, it was substantial. And I really worried, were we going to actually, A, be able to get through it, and B, was the water just going to get muddy with all those proposals? Was there going to be a lot of disagreement? Was there going to be more discussion or more, you know, dissent than maybe we were planning for? And there was hardly any. And that really, from the first sessions that we had on the encounter, on the Point Front encounter, it just became obvious to me that the Holy Spirit was working. And more or less, everyone had the same ideas that were there. And that was incredible to me. And how, even though we might have had differences of opinion on how those might be implemented or how they were going to look, there was, first of all, a real sense that everyone there was there for the right reason, and that was for the Lord. It wasn't for ulterior motives. And two, in that, having an open mind to the discussion, within the discussion, and really being able to see the need in the diocese. And one thing when I was in seminary that I was taught is that if there are a lot of people saying the same thing, like a lot of good people saying the same thing, that's a sign that the Lord is working too. So that really struck me right from the first, from really the first day.
How about you, Joey?
Well, you know, I was a table facilitator, so I got to sort of lead the discussion at my table, and I had three priests and a deacon and then three lay people, and I was just really impressed with the kind of the conversations that we have at our own table. You know, I gained so much more respect for our priests, you know, and just in the conversations we had, and I was really impressed with everyone being very open. You know, at first it was kind of pulling teeth, you know. One guy would kind of dominate the conversation always, and he kind of figure out, okay, let's let somebody else talk. And then, you know, some of these lay people were coming in, and there were some real emotional things said, and in a wonderful way, and there's a lot of positive outcome. And I think there's a lot of that going on at all the tables. There's a lot of healing going on, and an opportunity for people, the little people, if you will, to sort of air their grievance, either with a priest at in a private or more private at the table setting, or even to stand in front of you and just kind of say, here's what's on my mind, and here's the bishop listening. And that was such a great thing. You know, just Friday, that whole day was, if we could clone that and do it again. I think my one criticism is maybe we should have closed it after Friday, because, you know, I think some people came back, said maybe a little bit more tired, a little more anxious to get home, and it was a little different environment that day. It was still good. The first day was better, you know. That's what I got out of it, and I just think, you know, there was a lot of wonderful private conversations, and I think that really turned people on. I had one fellow say to me, maybe I was a lukewarm Catholic, and maybe I needed to come here just to feel the fire.
Mm. That's wonderful. You know, it's Joe, that's the same response a lot of people said. We could have just stopped after Friday, because Saturday people were tired, and there was the sense on Saturday, for those of you who weren't at the synod, we did a voting where we went through the proposals and people voted on what the priorities of the church was. And so, you know, at a certain point when you get into a voting, there's no more discussion. We're just voting now. But the importance of that, of course, was to move forward what we're asking the bishop to now respond to. I kind of want to give everybody just a little bit of a vision, because unbeknownst to myself, I got involved in this process way back in 2017. Because back in 2017, as executive director of Real Presence Radio, the bishop asked me to go to Florida for a convocation on evangelization with the diocesan staff. So we went to Florida in 2017 for this convocation on evangelization. When we came back from that, in 2019, the diocese organized a convocation here in the Diocese of Fargo on evangelization. I was just a committee member in that conversation. And then starting in 2022, we started this synod, which was actually in 2019, at the end of that convocation, our whole committee said, the next thing we need to do is a synod. And so in 2022, I got the opportunity to facilitate the synod here at the Diocese of Fargo. So for me, this whole thing has been a journey that started back in 2017. I'm sure before that, my entire life, because that's how the Lord works. But in 2017, this journey. So now what's going to happen is the bishop's looking at those